Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagine for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Lamar Jackson and the Ravens take on the Bills in Buffalo on Saturday night, and Lamar admitted he's concerned over the weather. There is a 40% chance of snow that could be up to an inch Saturday night. And when asked about how much he's played in the snow, Lamar said, quote, zero. Saturday would be my first time playing football in the snow. If it does, hopefully it don't. So Shannon, would snow help or hurt Lamar?
I think it helps him because he knows where he's going. Skip, they're a power running team. Yeah, they'll throw the ball, but even if you throw the ball, you know, hey, I know where I'm going. And you've seen guys when they play in the snow, how they put up those big, big numbers. And so I think it helps Lamar for the simple fact they're running a power running team. And Buffalo struggles against the run. So the last thing you want to do is take a false step and be a step slower in your gap where you should be than where you need to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think it helps Lamar. Like Lamar said, I think it's the unknown. He's like, man, I've never played in snow before. What's my footing going to be like? You're going to be just fine. Just go play your game. Just, you see the, hey, if it's there, take it. If it's not, step on the gas and get going. And so I think it's going to actually help him. It also, this kid, Josh Allen, he played in Wyoming. It snowed all the time. It snowed all the time in Wyoming. And he's a big, this is why you sign a guy like that, Skip, is because he has the type of arm that the elements, he neutralizes the elements. So if it's cold, he can throw through that. If it's windy, he can throw through that. The snow, the rain, he has the arm that can neutralize that. Mm. Now, he was their leading rusher, and if I'm not mistaken, they lost Zach Moss. They signed Devontae Freeman to the practice squad.
Yep.
So he'll probably be active because the only guy they have is Devin Singletary, 5'7", 203. Really not the type of guy that you really, that's going to plow and move the pile if it is in that type of game. But Buffalo going to do what they do. They're going to throw the football. But when I look at Lamar, I think Lamar Jackson will be just fine. Just go play football. Don't worry about the elements.
So he said all he's done is, in the snow, is throw snowballs because when he went to Louisville, obviously growing up in Miami, he saw his first snow, but they didn't play in it. It was more off-season snow where he just threw snowballs.
Right.
So at least he knows what it feels like to have been in it. And obviously it gets really cold, as you know, in Baltimore. So it's not like he hasn't played in cold weather coming from Miami, right?
Yes.
Okay, I despise snow games because it uglies up the game of football to the point you almost can't recognize it. And the classic one that I covered was that Leon Lett game, Thanksgiving Day, Miami at Dallas, 1993, was it?
Yeah.
And Leon,
but Skip, you should expect that. You remember the Super Bowl was in Dallas a couple of years, 2011.
Yeah.
2011.
Mm-hmm. And the snow came. All week. And then, but that game was indoors at
Jerry World. But it basically shut the city down.
It did shut the city down, but that came really early because that was on Thanksgiving. It came out of nowhere. A norther blows through with it. A lot of blizzardy type snow.
Right.
Not that they had a blizzard, but it felt like it snowed like blizzard kind of snow that day, all day, and it uglied up the game.
Right.
Okay, which was at old Texas Stadium with the hole in the roof, right? And Leon Lettis, people remember, tried to recover a block kick and pushed it into the end zone.
Pushed it closer for the field goal.
Okay. So I hate snow games for that reason, because especially at this level of playoff football, you want to see it played fair is fair on a level playing field.
You saw what Aaron Rodgers did in the snow, didn't you?
Huh.
You saw what he did.
Well, they're hoping it snows like cats and dogs, right?
They do.
Because they love the snow. But they love just the serious cold.
Congrats.
As Devontae Adams said the other day, it's so cold you can't even speak. Mm-hmm. And it's hard on the visiting team because they don't know that kind of cold usually.
Yep.
Okay? So I agree with you. What I've always been taught in this game is, in snow, if you know where you're going, you have a huge advantage.
Yes.
Because the defense has to react, and they're not sure of their footing.
Right.
And so they're more prone to slip than you are, because at least you can kind of pick and choose your
I know
steps.
I'm about to break here. Mm-hmm. And so now, exactly right.
Are you going to slip and slide a little bit? You are, but not as bad as the defense will.
Right.
So I would say Lamar would end up loving playing in the snow. And it's not like they're a bombs away passing attack. You can still throw it in the snow,
okay? Sure you could.
And the receivers know where they're going, so they're harder to cover.
Correct.
And their passing game is a little more of a controlled possession type passing game.
Yeah, it's a lot of zone. It's a lot of, RPO, skip, hit the flat.
Yeah.
Or, hit the little shallow cross or hit the tight end.
Hit 6'6" Mark Andrews, right?
I did not know the fullback weighed 311 pounds.
He does.
Richard.
Mm-hmm. Ricard. Yeah. Yep.
I'm looking, he is pretty big, but 311, Skip. Oh, man, 311 running routes, running flat routes. They throw it to him down the field.
He's pretty athletic.
Yes.
No, I agree.
Somebody go pay him. He's a free agent, too, if I'm not mistaken.
That was a stroke of genius to turn. He was a defensive lineman. They turned him into a fullback.
See, Skip, we can find a place for you.
Yeah.
If you could play, they find a place.
Nobody has found places for people better than Baltimore has over the, it's sort of the Ozzie Newsome way. I see that in him.
Yeah.
We can do that with him.
But you got to be willing to, accept that. Because sometimes, Skip, you get set in your head, I'm this. Mm. And if I can't play this, I don't want to play anything. Dude, say, for a chance to stay in the NFL, make me some money, retire, be set. Okay. Mm. I want to play defensively. I want to sack the quarterback, but I run into some people. I catch a few passes.
Okay. So while I agree that Lamar would be just fine, to your point, so would Josh Allen.
Yeah.
So they would have the advantage when they have the ball.
Yes.
This is why you call it home field advantage.
Yes.
And at this time of year, Buffalo and Green Bay are going to have huge home field advantages, especially if it snows.
Because the likelihood, Skip, of you getting 80 and sunny in Buffalo and Green Bay in January is next to nil. You're more apt to get what you're going to get on a Saturday. And guess what, Skip? It's Saturday night. So you don't even have the sun to get it like 5 or 6 degrees warmer than what it would be. You're going to be at night.
Mm.
I think Green Bay is late afternoon, too.
It's like at 4:30 Eastern time. So it'd be 3:30 there. Is that right? I think that's right. And the point is, it's probably dark at 3:30.
Yeah. Is that early in the game? It's a 4:30 game there, right?
Help
it's 4:30. It's 1:30 our time. 4:30 there?
It's 4:30 East, I believe.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be 3:30 in Green Bay? I don't know.
Yes. They Central.
Okay.
So East Central Mountain.
But my point is the sun's probably
about
starting
to go
down.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So that's going to feel like a night game, even though there's a real night game after that game.
It's a late afternoon. You would prefer the game, be 1 o'clock. At least I get a little sun, Skip.
Yep.
Gets nothing.
Well, I'm with Lamar in this. I hope it don't snow, because I don't want to watch it. And so I know a lot of people, like casual fans, love to watch them slip and slide in the snow because it's crazy fun.
But Skip,
it's fun for all the wrong reasons.
But the ugly game favors who? Baltimore. That's what you want, Skip. That power running team, you wanted to be mucked up.
I got it. Yeah. But you just can't. You can't even recognize the game of football, and I don't want to watch that.
Yeah.
That's just me.
All I want to be able to do is recognize the scoreboard at the end of the game, and we got more points than they do.
Okay.
If I can look up, it's like, man, it's snowing really bad. Oh, yeah, but we won. Okay.
Okay. Well, here we go. I think Lamar will be just fine.
So do I.
Here we go. And I would much prefer snow to rain. Let me just say, I feel like rain complicates things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, in a lot of ways, yep. The snow just, it has no that mercy.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed. No mercy.
After the Seahawks' quick exit from the playoffs, they announced yesterday that they would be parting ways with offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer due to, quote, philosophical differences. After the Seahawks lost to the Rams, Pete Carroll made it clear that the Seahawks needed to focus more on running the ball effectively to set up their passing game for Russell Wilson, something he didn't feel like Seattle did well in the second half of the season. So, Shannon, how much is Russ to blame for this move?
Russ got a lot of the blame. Skip, each of the past three seasons, the first half MVP has been Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Each of the year Patrick Mahomes won it, at the halfway point, Russ was in the lead. Last year when Lamar Jackson run it, Russ was in the lead.
He was.
This year, Russ was in the lead.
Good point.
And all he patting, let Russ cook. Well, mm-hmm. Russ burned the damn groceries. That's what Russ did. Call it like you see it. Man, we got to stop blaming all these coaches for everything. Russ failed. When you look at this, you look at what he did. Yeah. Now, he talking about they need to run the ball. Seattle was sixth in rushing average, mm-hmm. 4.8 a carry. They was 12th in rushing yards, 123. But what about those interceptions? Russ threw 9 interceptions in those 5 losses.
Yep.
And a lot of them were horrible through another one last week. DK Metcalf had to call 1,300 yards, which was the most in Seattle history.
Yep.
Tyler Lockett had 100 catches, mm-hmm. the most in Seattle history. So we just going to blame Brian Schottenheimer. Brian Schottenheimer ain't going to get no credit. He get all the blame. He let Russ cook. Russ burned the dinner. Mm. That's what he did. Call it what it is, Skip. Mm-hmm. Russ didn't play well each of the last 3 second halves. Russ going to have to show that he can win a playoff game without the Legion of Boom intact.
Yep.
And he hasn't played well in none of the playoff games. Go back and look at the Dallas game. He didn't play well.
He played okay, but he didn't play MVP standard.
Right.
Yes, I agree.
Look at this year.
Yep.
In this playoff game, did he play well?
No, it was his worst.
So at some point in time,
he's lost three of his last four, and what was the one he won at Philadelphia when Carson Wentz got hurt in like 3 plays?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Remember?
That was it. At some point in time, I understand Russ is a great guy. Been around him a couple of times, but we're going to have to play some criticism. We're going to have to start critiquing him like we do these other quarterbacks because he wants to be considered one of these franchise quarterbacks. Well, you can't get all credit like a franchise quarterback with no blame like a franchise quarterback.
Yep.
Russ got to bear a lot of the responsibility on this failed season and these failed seasons because I thought Brian Schottenheimer did a great job of putting Russ in position. Russ was the MVP 3 first halves, and for whatever reason, the interception rate went up, the turnovers went up, and they went down.
Mm. So remember the preseason top 100 voted upon by the NFL players?
Yes.
Remember what happened at the top as they were about to unveil 2 and then 1?
Right.
They had, I think, Jerry Rice, some other ex-players making the case that Russell Wilson is the best player in this league.
Right.
And he was sort of 1A because he was number 2 to Lamar, who was number 1. Patrick Mahomes was like 4th behind Aaron Donald at 3.
Yes.
Okay. I say going into next year when they vote, I don't think Russell's going to be vying for number 1.
Right.
He's going to be lucky to be in the top 5. But his first half this year was number 1.
Yes.
He was the best.
Mm-hmm.
And this offense was by far the best offense for half a year.
Right.
Well, that's pretty great, mm-hmm. right? Then what happened? I can't quite put my finger on it, but he just didn't play very well. And I thought Pete Carroll had the most interesting and I think sort of pertinent theory was that we threw so deep, so successfully, so often through the first 8-9 games mm-hmm. that teams started to play us deeper and deeper, right, saying, we will not let you have this anymore. Right. And they kept trying to beat you deep.
Right.
And he said, we had things underneath, but they just try to bleed us and make us have to throw the ball underneath, which they don't do very patiently and successfully.
Skip, the ball is in the quarterback's hand. Mm-hmm. Skip, I call a play. Now, the play is meant to go deep. And what Tom Brady understands, well, hell, I ain't finna keep throwing the Mike Evans and get this ball picked. Let me take Leonard Fournette in the flat. Let me take this tight end on the shallow. Let me take this underneath stuff. Okay, Russ.
Well, why is Tom Brady the GOAT?
Right.
Because he did a whole lot of that.
Skip, we watched him on Sunday night. Remember that game against Arizona?
Yeah.
When Russ kept throwing interceptions, that game was fourth and one. And he threw interception after interception after interception. And then we see what happened. The Giants go up there and beat the brakes off him.
They did.
Yep. So we saw what Russ did in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Interception after interception. Hey, come on now.
Close game, though.
Yes.
And by the way, the bottom line was still pretty good. They went 12-4 and they won the West.
Yes.
Okay.
12, Skip, just think about this. The guy went 12-4, had Russ in the MVP conversation every single year, and the man loses his job. Russ had his best 3 years.
And then he posted about Brian Schottenheimer, and they were very, very close, according to this social post.
Yeah.
Shoddy, he called him, you know, so grateful for how much you mean to me. God blessed me with you. We won a lot of games, threw a lot of touchdowns, had a blast in meetings and our Bible studies. Best days are ahead for you. Well, it is almost like you needed one more line of, I'm sorry I did this to you, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry I couldn't live up to what you did for me,
right?
Because in the end, the ball's in his hands. And I believe the whole idea of let Russ cook, that he tried to live up to that.
Yes.
By trying to throw it farther and farther. And remember, against the Rams the other day, he was 11-27, had his worst QBR in a playoff game of 18. But he made one hellacious great throw, rolling to his left.
Hit DK.
And DK got behind the safety. Right. Well, that was vintage Russell Wilson.
I think their running back situation, Skip, has been flux. I mean, the guys can't stay healthy. Chris Carson's been nicked up. I think Carlos Hyde is also there. He's been nicked up. But their
run game was consistently decent.
Yeah,
it was decent.
They need a tight end.
Well, and Greg Olsen, remember, maybe that's the key to the demise, was Greg Olsen got hurt at midseason. They put him on IR, and he came back late and did nothing. And he's our guy here at Fox.
Yeah, he'll come join us.
And will this be the end of that? Yep. Yeah. He'll come to us, right? Okay.
The other guy, Skip, no. They need a tight end. They need a tight end that can handle the underneath stuff, the shallow cross, the mid-level stuff. Mm-hmm. So that way, you know. And plus, you don't just – I understand DK is fast and big, but you don't always have to throw it to him deep, Skip. Mm. I understand that, you know, once he gets ahead of steam and he's not the greatest route runner because a man that size, it takes a lot for him to decelerate and to get in and out of breaks.
Yep.
But, Skip, you got to run something other than post and go routes with him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the one, quote-unquote, short pass that Russ threw the other day was the sort of wide receiver screen pass.
Yeah,
and
the guy read it.
Gone.
Yeah. But, see, if you study, you know, okay, I'm looking at the sideline. I see the guy get frustrated. Oh, they're going to try to get him the ball. Mm-hmm. They're probably going to try to get him the ball here. Now, in this formation, they're probably going to run the screen. They like to run. Boom.
Boom.
I mean, Skip, that's what you do. You look for tendencies. A receiver getting upset of that caliber. What do they normally try to do, Skip, on the next possession? We got to try to get him the ball. They're probably going to try to get him the ball here. Now, what do they like to run in this situation?
They don't have any dink and dunk to their passing attack.
You got to have that. The thing that makes Kansas City so spectacular, Skip, not that they can hit you, is Kelce working all the underneath stuff.
He does.
So now, okay.
He's the best.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's running shallows. He's running out routes. He's running the basic cross. Okay.
A lot of option routes.
Yes.
They're on such a great wavelength. I know you're going to go right or left whichever way they play.
He handles all that underneath stuff, and he let the speed guys, okay, y'all just want to back up out of there? Okay, I'm going to take Kelce one-on-one with your linebacker or your safety, and I'm going to eat you up. And then once you drop that guy down to try to double him, I'm going to hit Tyreek, I'm going to hit Hardman over the top. And plus, Sammy Watkins also works a lot of underneath stuff. Mm. So you got to have levels to this. Be able to take the short, the intermediate, and the over the top. You just can't go bombs over Baghdad every play, Skip. Mm-hmm. I understand you want to cook, Russ, but, hey, sometimes you got to bring that thing to you. You got to let it simmer. Mm-hmm. You just can't just throw it in the pot. It's done.
Yep. So you go 12-4, and your coordinator is axed. Right. Have you ever seen that?
Hey, Skip, they might have fired him at midseason if he didn't have the record that he had. I don't really know what Brian Schottenheimer was like. I don't know what else I can do. At one point in time, I was antiquated because I was ground and pound.
Yeah.
I'm ground and pound because my quarterback was Mark Sanchez. Mm-hmm. We had an outstanding defense, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to run it. We're going to pound you into the dirt running the football. We're going to bludgeon you with our defense.
And by the way, his father was known for ground and pound.
Oh, Marty. Yeah. Marty Ball.
You played against him, right?
I did.
Marty Ball. So it was like father, like son.
Yes.
But then he gets here, and it's like bombs over Baghdad.
You got a different set of circumstances, Skip. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, I got Russ. Yes, I'm going to run the football, but I got a guy that can make the plays in the backfield.
Yep.
Marty really never had a quarterback in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. He had Christian Okoye. He had guys. So he was just looking to run the football and play great defense. When he was in Kansas City.
Yep.
Same thing when he was in Cleveland, Skip. Mm-hmm. Remember, he had Ernest Byder and Kevin Mack, and he wanted to run the football and play deep, get out there with the dog pound, with the dog pound and the crowd, and Clay Matthews, the senior.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I don't think Brian Schottenheimer should have lost his job in this situation. Okay, Pete, you got to do some soul searching too. Now, what do you need to do?
Good question.
Because there are some time games that you lost that Russ played well early, and your defense gave up a trillion yards.
Yep.
Yeah, obviously the expectations there were to go much farther.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place. Whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
All right, guys, looking forward to this Saturday on Fox. The Rams take on the Packers. Coverage begins at 2:30 Eastern. Then on Sunday, Tom Brady and the Bucks square off with Drew Brees and the Saints at 6 Eastern. The NFL Divisional Playoffs presented by TurboTax Live on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Well, Brady will have his shot at revenge in that one after playing what most consider the worst game of his career against New Orleans, Week 9. Brady threw 3 picks in the 38-3 loss and had a QBR of only 5.9. We're now joined by former All-Pro quarterback Antonio Cromartie. That performance, Crow, we talked plenty about it when it happened, but how much better will Brady be Sunday night in New Orleans?
I think he'll be a lot better. And I say that because when you're looking at this Tom Brady team from Week 9, even from Week 1, I think it's gotten a whole lot better. I think everyone is starting to know their role and understand what they have to do to be successful in this offense with Tom Brady. I think the receivers are on the same page now. They're understanding what Tom Brady wants from them. And it just shows since that week nine matchup that they're being able to get on the same page and be where they need to be and where Tom Brady needs to be also.
So with a six QBR, can he be any worse? Can they be any worse? A QBR six and three interceptions. Have you told me he gonna be better? Can he be worse, Crow?
Nah, I hope not.
the thing that could what we've seen from Tom Brady this year is that no matter the level of competition, when teams can pressure him, he's looked very average. And when they can't pressure him, he's looked like Tom Brady, the historically great quarterback that he is. The one team that's been a bad matchup for him, because they're in the same division, has been the New Orleans Saints, because they can pressure him with four and they don't have to compromise their back end. And even when they bring that extra guy, they feel comfortable leaving Marshawn Lattimore one-on-one with Mike Evans. Jack Rabbit take either Godwin or AB. They like their matchups in the secondary. And they like that front four being able to put relentless pressure. They hit him from the opening gun until they finally called the dogs off when Tom Brady went out of the ball game. But if they can still generate that kind of pressure, yes, Tom Brady has played better the last 5 weeks, but none of the teams that he's played better against, with the exception of the Washington football team, has the type of pressure, relentless pressure, that applied to him like the Saints can apply the pressure. Detroit is not applying pressure. Minnesota, Carolina, the Falcons twice. Let's be real, Crow. The teams that he's faced and put up these big numbers against aren't on the level of the New Orleans Saints. So although I believe he can't be worse than what he was, I mean, people are expecting him to come out there and throw for 450. I don't see that happening.
Shannon, but you got to think about this, though, Shannon. It's the playoffs. You know everybody plays different in the playoffs, no matter how you look at it. Everybody comes in with a different mindset because it's either win or go home. Yeah. And I think when you're looking at the whole entire picture of what we're trying to do, and what they're trying to do, I think that when Tom Brady comes out, it's going to be a physical ball game. I mean, you're seeing Leonard Fournette run the ball like he's never had before in the last 2 years. So you got to take that into consideration and see how things are going to go also.
But you make it seem like only the Tampa Bay is going to play with a sense of urgency. Only Tampa Bay is going to play with a certain new level of physicality. What do you think the Saints are bringing to the table? They realize that they wanted this moment. This is why they brought Drew Brees back early. They felt the division slipping away. They didn't want to have this game in Tampa, Skip, even though the fan level. They wanted this game in New Orleans. So they brought Drew back early for this very moment. And they know this is going to be, if they lose this game, this is Drew Brees' last game. They laid it all on the line because they don't want this to be Drew Brees' last game. He came back for one reason. He didn't come back for it to end in the divisional round. He came back to be in Tampa. And so I expect for Tampa to play better, but I also expect New Orleans to play better.
So speaking of Crow, that is what you're going to have to eat next Monday.
Okay.
After Tom Brady, I don't have any energy.
Oh, well,
I'm speaking matter of factly. Okay. Because you are making the case to me that what Tom Brady has done over the last five games is completely overrated because he has faced nothing but sorry pass defenses. Earlier in the show, you laid it all out.
Am I lying? Okay,
you're not, but you're missing the point and the boat on this because obviously this is the first time around for this whole group together. And it took a while because at 6-2, they threw Antonio Brown, who has a huge aura and personality and mystique about him.
Yeah.
They tried to force feed him into their rotation against New Orleans after two practices on that Sunday night. Yeah. And it was the worst beatdown of the year in pro football, given who it was against who it was.
Skip, that's like me going to Brass Pro Shop and fishing in the stock pond and catching the fish and say, man, I'm doing a hell of a job. I should be able to do it. The pond is stocked. He should be able to put up those numbers against those sorry behind defense. Go out there.
Okay. But obviously, if you'd never used that rod and reel before and you had to try to figure out on the, so to speak, fly, how do I work this? Tom Brady had all new teammates, all new coaching staff, and it was hit and miss for a long time until finally they hit their bye week. And it wasn't until December 6th. And in the 2 weeks, they said, let's fix this. And they have launched out of the bye week. I'm seeing play action. I'm seeing pre-snap motion.
I'm seeing bad defenses.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I'm glad you saw it because they needed to play bad defenses.
Why?
So they could figure it out. They needed to regain their confidence after Tom Brady had a QBR of 6. It was the worst game he has ever played in his
career. Think about what you just said, Skip. You said Tom Brady, the GOAT, needed to play bad defenses. We've never said that about anybody of the historically great. They need to play bad teams to get their confidence
because
back.
Because he's a Buccaneer. He joined the Succaneers, the worst franchise in all of sports in winning percentage for its history. He said, I'll take that 7-9 team and I'll take it to the playoffs.
You told me at the beginning of the year, the Pro Football Focus ranked the Tampa Bay Buccaneer receiving corps the best group in all the football. Mm. That's what you told me.
I didn't tell you that. Pro Football Focus
told you. So you keep saying the sorry Succaneers, but he went to a team that had the best receiving corps.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had the highest graded receivers because two of them made the Pro Bowl. Did they make the Pro Bowl this year?
No.
No, they didn't because he taught them.
Did Tom make the Pro Bowl this year?
He should have.
No,
yes, he should have made it over Kyler Murray.
No, I don't know nothing.
Oh, stop it.
No, I don't know anything.
Did he play better than Kyler Murray did this year?
That's
yes.
That's not what the players said. That's not what the fans thought. That's not what the coaches and
general manager. The voting's in like 4 weeks before the season's over, and I don't get that, but whatever.
Oh, look.
If they let it finish to the last regular season game.
They do that with the All-Star game, the football and basketball. They don't wait to the end of the season.
My pet peeve. If you had waited, if you had held the vote after the regular season ended, Tom Brady would have been the third NFC quarterback on the Pro Bowl roster. You know it, and I know it. Yeah. So what happened right before your very eye-testing eyes is they clicked, they gelled against, I'll give you, bad competition, sorry competition.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they took off. And they went to Washington, and they hung 507 yards on a defense that hasn't remotely given up that many yards all year.
Yeah.
A defense ranked third, graded third by Pro Football Focus going into that game,
right. That
wild card game last Saturday night. That was impressive to me. And Chris Godwin dropped 3 balls, or it would have been a whole lot more yards. Tom Brady was spectacular in that game, the way he's been down the stretch. They're going to go to New Orleans with supreme newfound confidence they did not have back on that fateful Sunday night at Tampa Bay.
Well, we got Crow back, so let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you believe the Saints will have newfound confidence knowing that we've beaten them twice and we can beat them again?
I think they could be a little overconfident because I think they're going to see and feel, and I mean feel, a different physicality and a different confidence on offense from Tom Brady's offense. Go ahead, Carl.
I don't think it's just about the confidence that the Saints are going to bring into it. I think they understand they're a division opponent. So when you're looking at the whole entire situation, they know them and they know each other. So now I think the newfound confidence is actually coming from Temple because they feel like they're on the same page. If you look at week 9, they wasn't on the same page. There was routes, short routes that he was throwing picks on, people stopping on their routes, especially one to Antonio Brown. The missed throw he's trying to scramble and throw the ball away, through the interception to Malcolm Jenkins, the tip ball, the interception on the screen route to, I think it was Jones or either Fournette. But you got to think with Tom Brady needs a running game. And when a running game is not working, the passing game is not going to work also. So when you can actually get the Jones and also Fournette running the ball well, I think that's going to open up underneath the routes. When you get Antonio Brown, you can get Godwin. Underneath throws, what they was doing against the Washington Redskins to get the ball down the field. You got to think, Mike Evans came into this game injured, still had 6 catches, 116 yards, and he wasn't even 100%. And you saw that even after every single catch. So he wasn't even trying to run the ball down the field.
Let me ask you a question, Crow. Element. Which one of those corners do you say is comparable to Lattimore and Jackrabbit in Washington secondary?
I've
said this before the game. Any secondary that Ronald Darby's in is torchable.
Mm-hmm.
So. But if you look at this, Crow, and all those interceptions that we're showing the montage right now, what do we see Tom Brady under? Relentless pressure. And as long as they can generate that, it doesn't matter what the back. It doesn't matter what those receivers do. If you can generate that kind of pressure.
After week 9, the biggest thing is it's that time clock that goes off in your head as a defensive back, knowing that a front four can get to him. But it's the same thing that went on in Washington. We said that the front four from Washington can get to him, and they barely even touched him. Mm. So it's like, what's the passing game, and what's the scheme going to be like up front that Bruce Arians and Brian Leftwich can put up to make sure the offensive line protects Tom Brady to the utmost?
The line, I thought Washington football team's defensive line, although they have higher profile players, I think the Saints front four are better. Because they're just better. I understand Chase Young was a high pick, second pick in the draft. You have Payne, you have Allen, you have Sweat, you have Kerrigan. But that front four of the Saints, they're more relentless. Maybe because of the back end. And they know they get an extra step. But I'm anxious to see, and I agree with you, I'm anxious to see what's going to be the move and the counter move for each team. Because you know New Orleans want to pressure with their front four. Okay, what is Tampa going to do? Are they going to come out? Because I thought they tried to establish the run to slow Washington down. Because that the quickest way to slow a pass rush down is to make them think, he might hand this ball off. I got to stay in here. Mm. And then that's the extra time that Tom Brady needs to throw the football. Mm. So, hey.
But Shannon, what else can you do to a front four like that? Get the ball out what?
You got to get it out quick. Screen them, too.
You got to get it out quick.
And Tom is great at the screen game.
Mm.
Yeah, so, and that's one thing that can slow it down.
Shannon Sharp.
Yes.
Tom Brady, in that last game at home against the New Orleans defense, was under pressure 46% of the snaps. Think about that. That's got to be like the most of the NFL year. It's almost half the snaps somebody is on you, right?
Yeah.
You're under fire.
Yeah.
Okay, so what percent of the snaps do you think he'll be under fire, under pressure Sunday at New Orleans?
It needs to be at least that. I'm going to say.
I'm going to give him 40.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, 40.
You think he'll be under pressure 40% of the time?
Yeah.
If that's true, 100%. New Orleans will win this game easily.
Yeah.
Because obviously, he's not the most mobile guy to begin with.
Right.
Right?
I mean, there are very few guys that can be under that kind of pressure and win a ball game.
Okay. Give me, I need 10 points. I will take Brady and 10 right now. Dude. Well, you said he's going to be under pressure 40% of the time.
You just said he's played historically great the last five games. Give me those.
I didn't say historically great. I just said really well. You did.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well give me 10 points then.
And you said he was overrated.
He played, no, I didn't say, there you go.
Well, you did.
I did not say that, Skip.
What are you talking about?
He played bad defenses.
Oh, well then what he did was overrated, said Shannon Sharp.
But can I get 10 points?
You are scared to death of Tom Brady. Skip, that's the problem. In the end, you're scared to death
of
him.
Well, if you're so sure.
Because you know he's the GOAT, and you know
give me 10 points.
He might do GOAT-ish things.
Give me 10 points,
then.
Stop it. Give me 10.
Yeah.
I don't want 10. Give me 7.
Yeah.
Give me 7 right now.
Oh. You got to give me at least 3 because that's the spread.
No. You get no points, Skip.
Antonio, you're egging him on today. I appreciate you joining us. Thank you for your time.
No mercy. Back down.
Well, James Harden scored only 16 points last night as the Rockets fell to 3-6 in a blowout loss to the LA Lakers. After the game, Harden said the Rockets are just not good enough. He then went on to say, quote, "This situation is crazy. It's something that I don't think can be fixed." Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard is with us now. Chris, I'm looking forward to your take here. Is James Harden about to successfully force his way out of Houston?
Jen, look, I gave James Harden the benefit of the doubt. I thought that he would play hard and he would play well despite wanting to be traded. I thought that his desire to live up to his reputation as one of the best players in the world would drive him. I thought the desire to score 30 points a night, which has to be fun, would drive him to play well. And I was wrong. James Harden has thrown in the towel. He has given up the ghost. He is playing at half speed. His last five games, four of them were losses. He's averaged 17 points on less than 38% shooting. And here's the most telling stat. He's gone to the free throw line fewer than 5 times a game. This is a guy that over the last 8 years has averaged 10 to 11 free throw attempts a game. So that shows you he is just not trying. And look, I thought because Harden would play hard that Houston could slow play this thing. But now, look, you got to hold out for a good deal. But the bottom line is you have to trade James Harden sooner rather than later, because you cannot let his attitude and apathy poison your locker room and the rest of your franchise. So maybe the urgency now of having to trade James Harden will make a Daryl Morey in Philadelphia say, you know, give up a Ben Simmons, or Denver and Toronto and Miami. They're all struggling. Maybe they'll come up with a good deal, but you may have to lower your expectations a little bit, because I didn't see Harden just going in the tank, and that's what he's done. So, yeah, Jen, to answer your question, I think he is about to successfully force his way out of Houston.
Well, you should have known. You saw the way he came back. How you think I gave him the name James Harden? Mm-hmm. He done had like 10 grand slams. You see the way he looked. I mean, that should have told you it. That should have gave us a four. That should have foreshadowed what was to come, Skip.
The grand slams at Hardy's, or
the... No, the grand slam that did. I think grand slam that did.
You mix metaphors.
No, but his last name is Hardy.
He's eating both of them.
Yeah, when you get that side, you eat a lot of everything, Skip. You didn't eat one thing.
Go ahead.
You eat a lot of everything.
Yeah.
But Shannon, he played well his first few games.
Yes.
Right? He came out and was James Harden his first
44-17. And Skip, he's gonna have to. And I'm with you, Chris. I said, well, you know, he's gonna play. You know, they're gonna try to get it. They're gonna try to move him, but they're gonna try to, you know, get the most. It's hard. Even if you trade him, Skip, you're never gonna get value. Even though Brandon Ingram is playing well for the Pelicans, he ain't AD. And even though you go, you get some nice pieces, they're not James Harden. James Harden is a generational talent.
Yep.
These guys that can go give you 30 and 10 assists and 50-point triple-doubles and 60-point triple-doubles. These guys don't grow on trees. They don't come around every 10 years.
Yep.
They come along every 20, 30 years. And you got one, and he's unhappy. So when the guy becomes this, it's one thing to be behind the scenes and have your representative say, you know, I want out. I wish you could accommodate me. But when he said what he said, and even before he said it, his play on the court.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden got his foot over the line of quitting. He just hadn't touched down yet. But he's about to, Chris. This is unacceptable. I just believe that you should be professional. I get it sometimes if things don't work out. But James Harden, they've accommodated you at every turn. Everything that you've ever wanted. You want this guy, you got it. You threaten to hold out, you threaten to ask for a trade to get Russ. And then Russ saw your behavior and says, I got to go. You got Chris Paul up out of there. You got Clint Capella up out of there. You got James. You got Dwight Howard. Mm-hmm. And now you're in a bind. They got nothing to give.
Russell
Westbrook. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He got all them guys up out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, what can they put around you? Chris, I believe if he were to apply himself, you look at him, John Wall, Christian Wood, Boogie Cousins, and P.J. Tucker, or Gordon in the starting lineup, that's a nice little roster. Mm. I'm not saying they can win the West, but they can cause some noise. I don't care what James Harden says or anybody says. They can cause noise. But because he's been so vocal, and because the way he's been playing, he wants out, he's checked out, so you got to get him out.
Mm. So, Chris, I actually think you were right and then wrong about how James Harden would play this year. He is the shrewdest operator we have ever seen, with the ball in his hands and with the plot in his mind, because he had a plot in place here. He came back overweight, to say the least. He's got a gut. And he said, watch this. And in game number one at Portland, I started watching it. I made Ernestine watch the down the stretch because it went to overtime. It was as spectacular a game as James Harden has played in his career. As you talked about, 44 and 17 assists, and it went to the wire, and C.J. McCollum outgunned James at the end, and Portland won by two. And he came right back with 34 and then 33, and then he said, you know what? I've done enough to revalidate my value to my trade partners, because he wanted to show them, hey, even fat, I can do this, right? And he did it. And then to your point, he shut it down. And to Chris's point, he's averaging 17, and he doesn't even go to the free throw line anymore because he is trying to eat his way and half-heart his way right out of Houston. And I believe he's successfully going to do that.
I believe so, too.
Because now, all of a sudden, Houston is more open to making a deal, and maybe Daryl Morey, I don't know where he's going to go. And Chris, I'm going to throw it back to you. What is the most likely destination and deal? What do you hear? What do you feel? What do you see?
Well, you just keep hearing about the same teams that have been out there for the past few weeks. I think Philadelphia makes the most sense. I get it. They were playing well with Ben Simmons and Embiid early. They won 7 of their first 8 games, but they hadn't beaten anybody. You look at their schedule, they had only beaten one team that had made the playoffs, and that was Toronto, which was struggling. Now they've lost some games. I know it's because they've lost too many players from COVID and Simmons hadn't been there and all of that stuff. But I think there's a limit on them with Simmons that there isn't with James Harden. I give them a legit chance to win the championship if they had James Harden. And I think when you are that close, you need to go for it because it doesn't come along all the time. So I think Philadelphia makes a lot of sense. You know that Morey's going to get the last chance to get him from Houston with his relationship with Raphael Stone and those guys down there. Miami, you know, Pat Riley, I think Pat Riley, you talk to people that know him around the league, they're like, he's not thinking about what they did in the bubble. He's not satisfied with that. He's not resting on his laurels like, oh, we're building something. He wants to win now, so maybe he'll go ahead and pull the trigger. I mentioned Toronto, but Pascal Siakam hasn't looked very good, although I think he played well in Houston. And even if Harden were to go there with Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, who are both, you know, guards, I don't think they're a contender. You know, they don't have Serge Ibaka anymore and Mark Gasol. So Denver, I don't see him mixing well with Jokic. So I think there are very few places he could actually go that are realistic that he could contend for a title. So I think that limits it, too. Will he be happy if you send him somewhere? So I think I have to go with Philly as the best spot. Look, if Houston would take Kyrie Irving, and I don't, it's hard for me to imagine they will at this point, although Stone really loves Kyrie's game, I would, if I'm Brooklyn, I'd trade Kyrie for him in a heartbeat, but I can't imagine Houston would do that.
But here's the thing, though. You got to run that by KD because KD came to Brooklyn because Kyrie was coming. So, in other words,
you got to run it by Kyrie, too.
If I'm in Houston, basically, you want me to trade a migraine for a toothache. Because that's what I got, Chris.
Well, right.
I mean, what?
See, here's the one, here's where I disagree with you, Shannon. I don't think you have to run it by KD. Now, I was talking to somebody in the league yesterday who, you know, knows KD okay, has a, you know, somewhat of a relationship with him. He said KD would be with it. He just wouldn't want it attached to him.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And look, if I'm the Nets, though, I've got KD locked up for the next 3 years.
Correct.
And as I said about Harden, look, KD's a pro. I think KD is going to be a professional about it. And I think he does have a relationship with Harden, even though it's not what it is with Kyrie. So I don't think that KD would go in the tank. Now, Skip's right. The question is Kyrie. Because, you know, would Kyrie even go to Houston and play?
And no telling. Yeah. Well, first of all, they don't even know if he's going to come back to Brooklyn and play. So while we talk about him going to Houston and play, they don't know if he's going to come back to Brooklyn and play. But the thing that I look at, Kyrie's game is more compatible to KD's game than James Harden's game and KD's game. Especially now, I get, because everybody keeps saying, man, they played together. But when all these guys played together, and this is what I tried to tell people last year, when Russ and KD and James played together, they were all very different animals. Now, Russ is never going to go, Russ wants to be the center of attention. He ain't about all that, you know, doing this. He got to be his way. James Harden can only play one way. We've only seen James Harden play one way, Chris. And so I don't see how he and KD mix. I don't see how James Harden and Joel Embiid mix. How did that work out?
I think Harden does have the ability to play a different way. And I know you're right. It was before he was a star. He was coming off the bench in Oklahoma City. But my point is, he showed the skills. He can be a facilitator. He is a very good passer.
Very.
Mike D'Antoni just put him in a system where he was the show. And I think he is showing right now that maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like he really wants to win. He's willing to give up his individual numbers, play like a dog, look horrible, to get someplace where he feels like he can win. And I do think he could play differently. I think he has to be coached, too. I think a coach has to talk to him about it, but I think he's got the skills. He and Embiid in the pick and roll thing, pick and pop even, because Embiid's a decent shooter. I think they'd be tough. So hey, I think those would be two great landing spots for him, Brooklyn or Philadelphia.
Just remember, James Harden has led this league in assists. Mm-hmm. And even now, while quitting, he's still averaging 10 assists a game. Mm-hmm. 10 a game. Okay? So now we go back to Philly, which is the most obvious destination because of Daryl Morey. So, Chris, my last thought to you is I still believe in Ben Simmons more than Shannon does. He's 24 years of age. He can defend at the highest level. He's a triple-double waiting to happen, even though the points are going to be 13, 14, 15. And
five last night.
Yeah, well, I got it, but he fouled out. He got in foul trouble and fouled out. Well, they won because of the nuclear weapon, who was Joel Embiid.
Danny Green.
No.
Danny Green shot 21 threes, Skip. Okay. When did Danny Green turn into Steph Curry?
Okay, but the point is, I get what Chris is saying. If Daryl Morey says, win right now, then you trade for a 24-year-old Ben Simmons for a 31-year-old James Harden and hope that you get 2 years out of him, and one of them ends in a championship with Doc as the coach.
So you're going to trade him straight up, nothing else, just Ben Simmons for James Harden.
I'm afraid that's all that Houston's going to be able to command right now.
This is a crazy situation. I'm very intrigued how it plays out. No mercy.